Oh, let's do it.
Radio.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, 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 yeah.
Oh, no.
Days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Rowan, and the crew. You know how we do. Come to you live for another Empowerment Saturday just for African Americans. It's Juneteenth, so we're celebrating ourselves. Let's go. Let's get it started right now. Come on, Lulu. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Say yeah. There's no better love. Oh, yeah. Thank you and welcome. Welcome to Empowerment Hours, 365 days of African-American empowerment. That's right, for black folk, for us, for our people. That's right, it's Juneteenth. We're going to celebrate that. We're going to talk about Kwanzaa. We're going to talk about Willie Lynch. And we're going to talk about what we need to do. We're also going to throw in Father's Day as well. And we're going to have a community conversation. We're going to do all of that in an hour. That's right. Best believe that's true. So for y'all listening, if you want to join the conversation, 845-277-9250. I'm going to say it again a little slower. 845-277-9250 if you want to call and talk to Marvin Rome. Otherwise, just listen. Hey, it's for us though, right? It's a whole conversation, 1 hour for African Americans. Nobody else. It's just us. You got my attention and I got yours. But let's develop a plan of action. And here's where the NAAEA comes in at. You're probably saying, Marvin Rowan, what is the NAAEA? It's another acronym. Oh, no, not another one. Yes, another one. NAAEA is for the National African American Empowerment Association. It is a group of African-American people, African-American-minded people with the mission of empowering our people to become the best that we can be. That's why we're celebrating Juneteenth today. We're going to get better, right? So the mission of the National African-American Empowerment Association is to ensure that the needs of the African-American communities are met wherever we are, right? We're going to develop programs and services that educate, inspire, motivate, and empower the African-American community to learn about itself, to get better, to become empowered, right, to get out of some of the ways that we've learned, yes, that's right, learned, in the process of going through the iterations of being American, right? We got African genes, no doubt about it. We got American genes, but we got an American mindset. We need culture, right? So let me go through the tenets of the NAAEA, and then we'll kick it off. The first thing is we have to have a political agenda. Yes, that's right, politics. You got to learn. If you're going to live here in the land of milk and honey, we need some milk and honey too. We got to learn the system, y'all. Listen to me, right? Somebody going to say one day that dude had it right, but we just weren't ready to hear what he had to say. You better have a political agenda that operates for you and your children and your families wherever we are, period. You need to understand the politics. You need to understand the Constitution of the United States and how it applies to you and how to apply that law to everybody else that lives here, even those who have privilege. That's right. Even those who look like you to have privilege. Right? You got to understand the law. Because for a long time, the law was kind of tucked away, you know, blindfolded and the scales not balanced, but that has changed in order for America to be what it really supposed to be. So you started off in enslavement, but that's a whole other story. But we're going to balance the scales, or it won't be liberty and justice for everybody. It'll be tyranny. What you want? You want freedom? Freedom for everybody. You want liberty? Liberty for everybody. Because the scale's going to have to balance in order for this thing to work right. That's all I'm going to say. Politics, you got to have a political agenda, people. This is not negative. This is the truth. This is the real deal because that's what we need. You got to survive. Thrival and survival, that's my word. You got to thrive and survive. Why our kids can't thrive and survive? They need an opportunity and a chance just like everybody else. Just roaming through this earth having a good time. We need it too. We need prosperity and abundance. We need peace, joy, love, and happiness wherever we are. That's what we're striving for. Tenets of the NAAEA. You got to have an economic agenda wherever you are. You better have some money flowing through. You don't have to steal and rob and kill to get it. You just got to have a plan. You got to understand capitalism and how it works. You don't have to be a capitalist, but you better learn how the system works so you can apply the principles so that you can have some economic prosperity, so you can feed your kids, right? So you can educate your children, so you can have a roof over your head and a car if you want to drive one, right? That's what you got to have. You got to have an agenda. You have to have an agenda. You have to have an agenda, right? That agenda has to take care of your lifestyle. It has to cover you, right? So when we go in the ground, we got money to put you in the ground nicely, put you away decently. Not always have to get everybody to scrape together. No, we're not doing that no more. We need an agenda, right? Next is athletics. Under athletics department is health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition, right? You need a health plan. You eating right, right? Get off the medications. Get off all that stuff that's making you unhealthy. I said it, get off the fried foods. Get up. Hey, ain't nothing wrong with soul food. That's how we came through. But you got to have a fitness plan. You got to have a health plan. You got to have a mental health plan. You need to make sure you take care of your mind. You do. You got to take care of your mind and your body and your spirit, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. That's what you got to do. You got to protect your kids and your mind, right? You got to protect your health. Right? Go look up health disparities and then look up African-American health disparities and find out for yourself and then see where you are on the list because we're leading the world in health disparities. Don't take my word for it. Do the research. Next, you got to understand how important it is to have a physical agenda. You need to walk a little bit. If you're not walking, right, just do a little bit. Move your body. Figure that out. Just do a little bit. That's all I'm saying. I'm encouraging you right now. I ain't putting you down. Move your body. Stimulate your mind. Drink lots of water. Take care of yourself. Culture. Next is culture. I'm spelling it out, P-E-A-C-E. That's what we need inside and out. We need culture. We need relevant cultural programs that stimulate us, that drive us to feel good about who we are. We have a great ancient history. We have a great middle history, and we even have a great history here. I mean, man, you can't lose with our history. But for Juneteenth, we're going to talk about our great ancestors that came over here on ships and sold out, right? Was sold, but then sold out because we built this country. It's true. We did. Under all kinds of circumstances, guess what? You got to understand how great your ancestors were and are because you are the legacy. And so we have to be able to honor them with our actions, right? Take your freedom seriously, people. This is African-American conversation, so I can be real. When we're going to represent our ancestors that fought, bled, and died so you can have the freedom that you experienced, I mean, the limited freedom in some ways. But still, we got a long way to go, but guess what? We're still here, right? And then education. You need an education. Boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Do we need to educate ourselves on everything? We need to get on top of our games. That's what we need to do. We need to get on top of things, and we need to get on top of it fast. That's the NAAE. Again, the mission is to empower African Americans to ensure that the needs of our communities are met wherever we are, wherever we are. And we got to do that. We got to do the work of working on ourselves, and we got to do it right now. So what I want to say today before we get started is I want to honor, before we even go further, the fathers, the brothers. But tomorrow's Father's Day, right? We recognize that we need to take back some territory that we lost. We got to get the confidence of our females back, right? Some of them, right? So they can stand beside us and honor us, man. Let's stop running the street and doing all that wild and crazy stuff and get back to focusing on family and what it takes. We got to have integrity. And for y'all that got to teach it. For y'all that need it, get it. That's all I'm going to say. Happy Father's Day, brothers. Let's recognize and represent all at the same time. All right, here we go. Man, Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah, man, we got the deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing. But we must unify.
Tell them, Stan.
And let's not sabotage ourselves. We should not look as to what we can't do. We can do all things. We can. We can do it. And so we got to quit trying to mimic other races and be who we are, original kings and queens, and make a difference.
I like that.
Right here on earth.
There it is. Thank you, Brother Stan. So here it is. So here's my Kwanzaa segment for y'all that's listening. It's going to be real easy. And Willie Lynch, all together in one. You ready? You got to understand the history of division, right? Of sectioning out us. That we have been divided mentally, physically, emotionally, all of that, right? With color, size, height, gender, all of that. But can we coalesce and come together, right, and unify for the betterment of a community of people, right? Again, our ancestors came here on ships, not by their own will, but forced to work for free. I'm honoring them. I don't care what nobody say. I know my ancestors came over here on the ship. I know they did. Well, no, I ain't going to say that. I know they was on the plantation because we got the record. And I'm going to honor my people with my actions and my activities. I'm going to cherish my freedom. And I'm going to make sure everybody else is free. And I'm going to honor them today. It's Juneteenth. Thank you so much for bearing the load for us, teaching those who are uncivilized how to be civilized. Now, we got some work to do on the back end because we have so much that we're going through. I'll just share real quick. After the abolition of slavery, we went through Jim Crow, black code, segregation, incarceration, of mass incarceration, war on drugs, crack, right? And so much more. Now we're down to Black Lives Matter. Yes, we are. But guess what? We're still here. And that's what's most important. We've been through segregation. We've been through oppression. We've been through violence and lynching and all of that. But now we need agendas, right? We need to grow up and mature now. So let's mature together. All right, this is my Willie Lynch moment in Kwanzaa. We need unity, right? We need to come back together. That's all I'm going to say. Let's come together. And let's pray. Brother George, we need you back, man. We need you. I know you out there. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Brother George. We're praying for you, that you will heal and come on back home, man, so you can keep kicking that knowledge. All right, here we go. We're going on down to my first Juneteenth clip. Right, I'll be right back, and then we're going to the lines. I'm going to start off with 4756.
Some of you may not be aware of this, but America actually has two Independence Days. One celebrates America's
Education.
Freedoms from Britain's rule. Another holiday, Juneteenth, commemorates the day when a Union general came into Texas and gave an order that actually ended slavery. Now, you may be going to yourself like, wait, didn't the Emancipation Proclamation take care of that? And my answer to you is this. You actually thought the Confederate States obeyed the law. Okay, sure. On January 1st, 1863, President Abraham Lincoln declared all slaves held in Confederate States to be freed. But that news never reached the Texas slaves, and there's many theories as to why. Maybe someone literally murdered the messenger that was sent to Texas to inform them. Maybe, in typical Confederate fashion, they withheld some information from the slaves. Some historians believe that since the Civil War wasn't over yet, that the lack of Union Army presence in Texas made it hard for Lincoln's proclamation to be enforced. Nonetheless, it was cotton-picking business as usual in Texas despite the proclamation. Some slave owners in neighboring states moved their slaves to Texas because they thought that the Confederate Army would eventually win the war, and when it was over, they could get their property back. So when Union General Gordon Granger rode into Galveston, Texas with Union soldiers behind him, and he saw all of these slaves, he decided to make an announcement on June 19, 1865. First off, a proclamation was made from the president to free all these slaves 2.5 years ago. Second off, you are no longer slave owners and slaves. You are employers, and those are your hired workers. Some slaves zipped out of there before Granger could even finish his announcement. Other slaves decided to go and leave the state so that they could repair their families that were torn apart from the slave trade. Others decided to flee up north, and they lived happily ever after, right? No, of course not. By law, they were free men and women, but in reality, they were enslaved by oppression and violence. Black bodies still hung from the branches. Some were even shot for their freedom. But freed men and women wanted to celebrate that they were just that, freed. They created a holiday that was originally called June the 19th, but then it was kind of squeezed together and now it's Juneteenth. When they wanted to celebrate the first annual Juneteenth, segregation laws forbade them from using public spaces. Okay, that's fine. We'll celebrate near rivers and lakes. They dressed in the fanciest clothes so they can combat laws that required them to wear raggedy clothing. They ate barbecues, sung spirituals, preached religious sermons. Strawberry soda was the drink of choice, and they also ate a lot of red fruits and desserts like strawberry pie and red velvet cake to commemorate the blood that was spilt during slavery. These rituals still occur in today's Juneteenth celebrations, whether it be parades, cookouts, or five-day festivals. And since whites didn't want to share their own spaces with blacks, the blacks decided that they would raise their own funds for their own celebration sites, such as Emancipation Park in Houston, Texas. So as the former Texas slaves decided to migrate across the country, so did the importance of Juneteenth, which is also known as Emancipation Day or Freedom Day. In 1980, Texas was the first state to declare Juneteenth a state holiday when state offices are not closed, but partially staffed. So far, 45 states have recognized the historical significance of Juneteenth. Guess what? Alabama wasn't last this time. Alabama was the 40th state to do so, but it didn't get the same paid state holiday status as Confederate Memorial Day or Robert E. Lee Day. There's also a national campaign to make Juneteenth a federal holiday. Whitewashed textbooks didn't, and still don't, mention Juneteenth. Because of that, a lot of people are still finding out about Juneteenth. So whether you found out about Juneteenth...
There it is. It's just a little bit on Juneteenth. If you don't know, do your research on it. Do your history on it. We've come a long way. We have. We have come a long way. And I want to thank those who have done the work and continue to do the life work. We're going to have to learn to work together again to get the job done for those who are on assignment here. We've got to do the work of honoring our ancestors with our actions. We got to appreciate our freedom. We have to understand how great our ancestors were and how we must continue to carry that legacy forward. So why celebrate Juneteenth? Because we've been through a lot, y'all. You got to honor your people. Those people were great people to go through what they did, and we're still here. So I'm going to the line now, and I'm going to start with this. I'm going over to 0673. If you're ready to talk, I'm ready to listen. Here we go. We still here, y'all. Uh-huh.
Bring it. What?
Uh-huh. We ain't going nowhere. Yeah. Bring it. All right, we're right here. 0673.
All right. Can you hear me?
Hey.
Can you hear me, Mom?
Coming right. Live. Yeah. How you doing, brother?
We're gonna celebrate Juneteenth. We gotta celebrate it, honoring those who truly emancipated. Were truly emancipators. It was not Abraham Lincoln. It was not Granger.
Right.
It was Nat Turner. Gabriel
All
Prosser,
right.
Harriet Tubman, Denmark Vesey. During the Civil War, it was Martin Delaney, his son Toussaint Overture, Robert Vesey, who was Denmark Vesey's son, the nurse, Susan King Taylor, and our mentor, Harriet Tubman. These were the true liberators. You'll hear me refer to Abraham Lincoln at this honored age because we don't know a lot about Abraham Lincoln, but they pushed out these Europeans as emancipators, but the true emancipators were African people. It was those like Nat Turner and Gabriel Prosser that had Europeans uneasy, not knowing if they woke up in the morning, their trusted slave might have an axe waiting for them. So these were the true emancipators. We all know right now about Texas and those in Galveston, Texas that did not know about the Emancipation Proclamation. But many of us don't know about those in another state that had more enslaved Africans than Texas. And dishonest Abe, y'all call Abraham Lincoln, dishonest Abe purposely left them out. And that is the state of Tennessee. The Massachusetts Proclamation said those Confederate states that left the Union, those slaves are free. It was 13 Confederate states. 11 seceded the Union. 2 stayed back. Of the 11 that seceded the Union, and seceded means broke away from the Union, this honest Abe only included 10 of them in the Emancipation Proclamation. Go back, read the Emancipation Proclamation, you only count 10. The question is, where is the 11th state? The 11th state is Tennessee. And Tennessee They do a census like every 10 years. The 1860 census had Galveston, Texas, around 180-something thousand enslaved Africans. It had Tennessee around 275,000-276,000 enslaved Africans. So it's more enslaved Africans in Tennessee than it was in Texas. So we celebrate June Jubilee. We not only should celebrate the freedom of those Africans that was forgotten in Galveston, Texas, but also be reminded of those ones that this RSA purposely left out, and that was Tennessee. Now, all of us know about the 13th Amendment. A lot of us don't know about the other 13th Amendment. There were two other 13th Amendments, but the one before the 13th Amendment, 1865, there was a 13th Amendment called the Corwin Amendment, spelled C-O-R-W-I-N Amendment. What the amendment said that Congress should not amend the Constitution to abolish slavery where it already existed. Let me repeat. It stated, Congress shall not amend the Constitution in states where slavery already existed. That amendment was passed in the House. It passed in the Senate. Then why isn't it law? It wasn't law because it has to fall under the watchful eye of the people. It has to be ratified by 3/4 states. You only had 34 states then. 3/4 of 34 is 26 states. 11 of them succeeded. So if you take 11 from 34 states, you don't have enough to ratify. So all that passed the House, it passed the Senate. If those boys in the Confederate had come on in and signed this thing, I would not be on the radio talking to you right now because I would still be in bondage. Now, why I call Abraham Lincoln dishonest aide? Dishonest aide tried to pass that amendment. In his first inaugural speech, he said, "There's an amendment to the Constitution put on my desk, but I have not read it." I repeat, he said, "There's an amendment put on my desk, but I have not read it." He said, "It passed through Congress." So he admitted, it passed through the House, it passed through the Senate. Then he goes on to say that I have no problem with it being passed expressly. Now, I worked at the post office. I know what the word express means. How are you going to say you got a document on your desk, you haven't looked at it yet, but you want it passed expressly? If it had passed, I would not be talking to you because one of those slave states was West Virginia. Now, why is Tennessee so important? Because in the Emancipation Proclamation, which was issued January 1st, 1863, but the preliminary Emancipation Proclamation came before that. The preliminary Emancipation Proclamation, this honest Abe said, if y'all come back home, now you're not going to find it in the Emancipation Proclamation, but you'll find it in the preliminary Emancipation Proclamation, Section 10. He said, if y'all come back home by January 1st, 1863, I will compensate you for your slave. That's called reparation. He said, I will compensate you for your slave. He don't have to use the word reparation. That's reparation, to prepare you for your loss. If you only read the Emancipation Proclamation, you won't see that. You got to look at the preliminary Emancipation Proclamation, because the preliminary Emancipation Proclamation is a promise to you if you come home by January the 1st. Now, since he left Texas out of the Emancipation Proclamation, if Texas, a Confederate state, not Texas, Tennessee, if Tennessee, a Confederate state, had come home by January the 1st, those Africans would be on the Union side, but they would not be free. How do we know that? But he did not include them. He had exempt clause. Exempt means you don't have to free your slaves. He did the same for Tennessee, for West Virginia. West Virginia was exempt in the Emancipation Proclamation. So what happened? West Virginia came back home without freeing those slaves. They didn't have to, because it wasn't covered under the Emancipation Proclamation. So when we celebrate Juneteenth, celebrate the ones who truly were liberated, who truly emancipated us. These were the Africans that was in the Civil War that made the way for Grange to come through, that made the way for your freedom. So when somebody else tried to get a hold of your holiday, they have you focus on the wrong people, Abraham Lincoln and Granger, and take your focus off Martin Delaney, Harriet Tubman, Robert Vesey, Robert Smalls, Susan Taylor, Nat Turner, Gabriel Prosser, all those laid the way for our liberation. So we celebrate Juneteenth, honoring the true emancipators. That's all I have to add.
All right. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Thank you so much, sir. Hey, again, what a wonderful education, and that's what we're all about. We're all about educating ourselves. The brother just laid it all the way down. Play this back, right? Do your history and know yourself. It is brothers like this that continue to move the movement forward. We got to know our history, not his story, but history, right? The true history. Like he said, other liberators. You can go through the list. Nat Turner, Gabriel Prosser, Demi Vesey, Harry Tubman. It just goes on and on and on. But we got to recognize our greats in the process. Right? So again, this is education. It's a part of the tenets of the NAAEA. We have to educate ourselves. We have to equip our families and our children and our communities with the proper education and the proper information to move forward. That's healthy. Thank you, brother. I love it. I love it. I love it. What else can you do? What else can you do? We have to understand how we fit in. Right now, I'm not saying get in and fit in like Stan would say, but we have to understand our role in this society. We have a great ancestry. We do. But we got to do our homework. We got to understand the work that we've done and the work yet still that must be done. Whose job is that? It's ours, the living descendants of those great people who fought tooth and nail for freedom and liberation. And so we're here now, right? We're here. They're going. We're here. What are we going to do? That's the question. What are we going to do with ourselves, with our lives, right? What are we going to do with our time? It's on us now. It's on us. It is on your shoulders right now. So, again, to our ancestors, I say thank you for paving the way, for being courageous enough to stand up in the face of an oppressive system, a brutal one, very, very brutal. But we're here, and so I say thank you to all of them for their commitment and their dedication, and for those who suffered, those who didn't make it, right, as we go through the process of slavery from the shores of Africa on the ships and the hulls of ships and over here on this land to endure what they did. So we honor you with love and respect on this day and on every day. So every day is Emancipation Day for us. From now on, that's why we celebrate Kwanzaa. That's why we celebrate Juneteenth. That's why we celebrate ourselves. And we'll continue, because freedom cannot be granted. You got to take it, and then you got to keep it. You got to earn it. And I dare say that we got to work with some of our people on managing our freedom. We do. We got to develop our families. We got to develop our kinship. We just do. So how's the work going to get done? It's going to get done by us doing the work of working on ourselves. And so here's something that we have to think about. Going to a clip. Be right back.
Post-traumatic slave syndrome is an explanatory theory that really looks at multi-generational trauma.
It's the trauma that we have
to face. For people is their first response, oh, my God, that happened so long ago. We're talking about people being captured, shipped, sold, beaten, raped, experimented on. And then you have to ask the question, did the trauma continue? Yes. So 300 years of trauma, no help, freed. No help, more trauma. If it's a sustained trauma, then the impact of that is also sustained. When we look at multi-generational trauma, we're looking at people who are maybe victims of natural disasters, and their families and their children, and generations of folks who have experienced war. And we know that there are residual mental, emotional, traumatic impacts. And what I did was I started to look at the African-American experience, starting with slavery, as a real clear long-enduring trauma. I started to see that there were clear connections between that survival behavior and contemporary living in African-American experience. I started to see common behaviors that I took for granted as, well, cultural. There's adaptive behaviors, survival behaviors. Well, what are they? Let's just say 2019, you have a black mother and a white mother. The sons go to school together. They find themselves at a meeting. The black mother leans over to the white mother and says, I just wanted to mention to you that I noticed that your son is really doing quite well. And the white mother's response is, oh, thank you. She begins to go on and on about he won the science fair, his uncle's an astronaut. She's just oozing. She realizes the black mother's son is actually excelling her son. And she says, well, wait a minute. Your son's the one that's really coming along. And the black mother responds, oh, my God, he's a handful, but, oh, he just works my nerves. Now, when I'm working with African-American people, it doesn't matter what the audience is. It doesn't matter what class. If I were to ask, is she very proud while she's saying those denigrating things? And everybody laughs and goes, of course, there's a secret. Because everybody black knows that even though the black mother is going, oh, my God, she's really proud. So now let's roll that scene back 300 years. And let's say this black mother is working in the field. And a white slave owner comes through and says, wow, that boy is really coming along. What is she going to say? No, he's not. He's stupid. He's shiftless. He can't work because I don't want you to sell him. So I denigrate them to protect them. That is called appropriate adaptation when living in a hostile environment. The little white boy, say Timmy, you know, he feels really comfortable and happy about what his mom just said about him, and Trey looks at his mom and wonders, why can't you be proud of me? Because he doesn't understand the secret yet. And by the time he learns the secret, he will have already been injured by it. Post-traumatic slave syndrome.
That's why we have to understand the survival strategies that we've incorporated into what it is that we have now. We've made lots of adjustments. Yes, we have. Mentally, physically, emotionally, culturally, spiritually, you name it, we've been adaptive. And we've had to adapt to what's going on here. Every experience, and again, every iteration, you go back, slavery, adjustments, Jim Crow, adjustments, redlining, adjustment, black code, adjustment, segregation, adjustment, integration, adjustment, mass incarceration, adjustment, war on drugs, adjustment, Black Lives Matter, adjusting. We're adjusting right now. So they've shared with us the holiday of Juneteenth, but we have to celebrate ourselves. And we're looking at how do we cope with multi-generational trauma and the survival strategies that we still hold. Those behaviors that we still have in terms of adaptive strategies that come directly from our enslavement and all of the experiences from that. How, again, do we save our babies? How do we save the next generation? How do we help ourselves? How are we going to learn to work together to unify, to have common goals? We don't have to all have one goal. That's a common goals, plural. How we continue to do the work of working on ourselves. That is the question that we have to look at. We have to continue to do that, and we have to continue to do that work. But it's up to us. It is up to us to do the work. You're going to have to decide, do we grow together or do we perish apart? It's up to us. That's why there is a need for the African American Empowerment Association. It's a group of African Americans coming together to ensure that our needs are met. Who else is going to do it? We got to do it for ourselves. And if we don't do it, who's going to do it? I'm going to the lines. I'm going to 8128. 8128, it's your turn. Here we go. Come on. We ain't going nowhere.
Bring it. What?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 8128, you live.
How you doing, my brother?
All right, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, my brother. All right, well,
right.
I mean, it's obvious, you know, that we got a long road ahead of us, but the reality is that These are things that we can do. Okay. First of all, we can start looking at ourselves, and like I said, in a different way. I've said this before, and I say this all the time because it's one of the first things that we need to do. We have to start looking at ourselves, you know, as individuals who care about each other. Okay, we are no good unless we're as a group. Okay, and we can't be a group unless we care about each other. Just caring about each other is something that we have to look at our similarities and not our differences. Not the situations that we're in, the conditions that we're in, and the ways in which we can move ahead based on the fact that as a group, we can accomplish a lot more because we have the type of minds that can conceive and create situations that will just be off the chart. You know what I'm saying? We can think, as you say, outside the box. You can't do that as an individual. You can do that as a group because within your head will come out your head and we'll be able to see what it is that we could all put together. You know, like you said, you know, we're better as a people than we are as individuals.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, what I'm saying is that like the time is now for us to start looking at our similarities and our gifts, you know, and our ability. And coming to,
so
and,
true.
And being able to see who we are as black people really are. Because we've been told who we are. You know, we've been told who we're not. But we haven't been telling ourselves any of that. And that's what we got to do. We got to talk to each other about who we are and how we define who we are and
that's
what
right.
we are and what we do. Okay? Because we have... What you see about yourself immediately is what somebody else said, not what you said, not what you had the opportunity to define about yourself. Defining yourself means that you have to look at where you come from, your heritage, your background, your customs, you know, your unique abilities. Those things have been kept from us. We have been hidden from us, but our scholars have done the work. They've done the work. We just need to tap into that work, okay? They say that there are several things that a black person must have in their house. They must have at least 5 to 10 books that are written by black people. I don't care they're about black people, okay? You got to go out and look. They got to have artifacts that describe our culture and our heritage and our background and our ancestry. Okay?
I like that.
We gotta start to understand it, what's going on with our people as a people, not just here, but worldwide, because we have a world view. When you step outside of your little circle, you'll be able to see a lot more. Okay? There's also other things. There's a couple of other things. You know, and I don't want to take up the time, but here's a couple of questions, right? I bet
All
you
right.
if I asked you to name 5 countries in Europe, you can name them off the top of your head. But if I ask you to name 5 countries in Africa, I think that would be a little bit more difficult. If you tell me what language they speak in these 5 countries, that will be even more difficult. If you ask me what their cultures are, in those 5 countries, it would be a lot more different and a lot more difficult. You understand what I'm saying here? Your cultural mindset has not been set on your people. It has been set on what I consider the enemy, because the enemy is the one who keeps you from seeing yourself. You need to look at what is important to us, and what is important to us is us.
I like that.
You got to focus on us, ourselves, our culture. You know, I believe we have to develop who we are and to look into that separate from what somebody else has told us, because most of what we believe about ourselves, somebody else told us that.
And
now
right.
we repeat it. Get away from self-hate. Get into self-love by understanding who you are. And then things will start to change. And our minds, and that's the way it's got to be. You know, we got to look at each other with the value we truly have.
I love it.
You got it, my brother?
All right. Thank you, brother. I'm going to come back to you.
Okay.
Your brother said it.
Mm-hmm.
He said it all. You better look at yourself. Right? Ain't nothing wrong with that. We got to honor ourselves. And I say honor our ancestors with everything that we got because they laid the foundation. They gave it out. They sold out for us so we could be here. Why not honor them in the rightful way? I ain't talking about being like other people. I'm talking about being yourself, your authentic self, love for self and kind. Love for your people. We've been through so much. Why not find time to love on each other the way we're supposed to? I'm going back to 0673. 0673, if you talk to me a little while longer, I know you got to go somewhere, but I wanted to get you back in here before you go. 0673, bring it back to you. Come on. We ain't going nowhere. 0673, you there?
Yeah, I got you.
All right. Let's talk about solutions.
You hear me?
Yeah.
All right. A lot of times we think that with you and me, all of us be on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
We really don't think that's going to happen. A lot of times we talk about democracy, right? And you really don't want a full fair democracy because we don't always agree. For example,
true.
Look at Obama's presidency. Some people may look at it one way, others look at it another way. All right. So what you don't want is that's going to cause chaos because we're not going to agree. But we all can come to agree that we got one thing in common, liberation of African people. We might got different roles. You might take 9-to-5. I might take 301. But we all got the same goal, liberate African people. Now, we could come with somebody or some person, right, that would be representative of both sides. Because it's not about who's right and who's wrong. It's about unity.
Mm-hmm.
And both sides can agree on, if we had to pick 10 leaders, right, for African people, because for democracy, you still got a representative. You don't have a
True.
People, you don't have millions of people walking around with chicken with their head cut off. You still got a representative. But make sure you got a representative that got your interests in mind. Make sure the representative is representing you, but not representing you independent of your wishes. Like, if I was representing
True.
Somebody, I'm not going to do stuff like this. Marvin, I'm going to take money out of Social Security to balance the budget. You don't mind. Did I ask Marvin? See? Proper representation would be to ask Marvin before I make a decision so Marvin would know, I would know that I am making a decision that's in Marvin's best interest. So if we could come together with somebody that we agreed that could represent us, we might not like this person all the way, but the person is fair, and the person working our interests. I can come up with some names, you know, but some names I might like, you may not like, but something both sides can agree on. Like you have some people in Congress, both sides might be able to agree on. Both sides might be able to agree on Maxine Walter, right? I personally like Cynthia McKinnon, you know, but you know she's the first been dethroned, but I like her. But you find somebody both sides can agree on and let that person represent us. Because otherwise, can't have a whole lot of people talking at one time because the crowd is always wrong. Crowd always wrong. Look at those old cowboy movies where the crowd comes together and says, this guy stole that horse. We're going to hang him. You got one lone person in the crowd named Marv who said, well, I think we need more information. He might not be the right one. The crowd said, oh, yeah, he's the right one, all right. Then they string the guy up. The telegraph comes in from the sheriff. The sheriff says, I got the guy who stole the horse. I caught him riding on it coming into Dodge City. But the crowd struck up the wrong person. So don't think that you and it means we're all going to be on the same page. We're not all going to be on the same page. We're not all going to agree. But if we all agree that we're working towards the liberation of African people, Then when we pick a representative, we pick a representative that might not have everything a Kevlon wants, but got most of the things that Kevlon wants. Might not have everything Marvin wants, but most of the things Marvin wants. And me and Marvin can both agree that he's representing us in our best interest. You know what I mean? And the person might be of a different religion. But that's not that person's goal. That person's religion is his personal thing. Like Malcolm.
Mm-hmm.
Malcolm said he working for African people, right? And he understood that if his God came between that, that's not a God that he should be worshiping. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
So we got to find somebody who's our interest in mind. That's what we got to do, right? And I challenge people, right, to name, you don't have to do it on this show, but go home and get a piece of paper and name 10 people that both sides can agree on. The people who hardcore like a Kevlon and the people who I'm asking, but I really don't want to go all the way out on, you know what I mean? Find somebody that both sides can agree on. It might be a sister in Georgia. I forgot her name. April.
True.
It might be her. Both sides might agree on her.
Yeah.
So you only don't mean we all agree on the same page, right? But we all can pick a representative, right, that will have all our interests in mind.
I like that. I like that. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you.
Yeah.
Great as always. Great as always. So let's think about this for a minute. The brother made a great point in terms of unity, right? The one thing that we can agree on right now is that we need unity in our communities, in our families, and within ourselves. Because a lot of us are conflicted. It's just the truth. When we get unity of self first, mentally, physically, and emotionally, then we can take the next step. That's what he talked about the proper representation. That representation represents you. It's representative of you. The next thing is, it has to be in your best interest, right? This is the dream, right? The impossible dream. That's why this song plays. Because it's hard. It's hard to change minds. And they know that as conditioning is in place. And that's what we've been talking about. We've been talking about how to be able to get the mindsets right. How to get our people back together again. And then lastly, that agenda that we need is a political agenda, right? Let's start developing good leadership because that's what we need. We are in desperate need of good leadership, right? That are, again, representative of our people and the needs of our people, the interests of our people, not of self, but as a collective. And as we run these people, right? Because we need to run people for positions. We need to groom and prep the next generation for being a part of the electorate. We do, right? We need some people who can say, no, this is what we need over here. How about that? And they are working in our best interest, and they're not walking in fear, or they're not walking in selfishness and in greed of what they can get, but what's best for the overall needs of the African-American community. And we have the programs and services and the resources to meet the needs of our people. That's what I'm talking about. I'm going to slide on over to 8856. If you're ready, I'm ready to talk, but I got to let this last part play first. Oh, yeah. The Unreachable Star. Come on. That's for my brother Booker. Uh-huh. All right, here we go. Thank you so much. Whew, what a day. 8856. Your turn. Bring it.
Bring it. What?
Oh, yeah. 8856. We're right here. If you talking, we talking. 8856 going once, going twice, gone. Guess what? We're going to keep right up moving. All right, 9266, are you there? 9266.
I am here.
Hey.
Hey. I apologize. Hey. I missed a lot of the story, but you talked about leadership in our community. And, I don't know. I don't know what we can do about leadership in our community. We don't trust anybody.
We need to educate our people first, right? So, yeah. So in order, I think in order to get good leadership, we got to develop our people. We got to give them something to work with, right? We got to get good, sound education. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about Juneteenth and celebrating our ancestors, right? So you got to know your history. And then you got to turn around and have an agenda politically, economically. So what do you think? What do you think the solutions are to our situation as it stands right now?
I think we just have to keep educating our people. I mean, that's the only way we're going to be able to do it. You know, but it's only for the people that can that are willing to learn. You can't reach them if they don't want to learn. They're easy to cut you off. Like, I don't want to hear that. So I don't know. I guess we just have to do it one person at a time.
That's how we got to do it. One person at a time. And guess what? It starts with us. Thank you, sister. It starts with ourselves. I'm going to come back to you. We got 9 minutes left, so I'm going to come back to you one more time. Thank you, though. It starts with us. It starts with us. It starts with you. You're going to have to do the work, right, of educating yourself first and then being able to pass that thing on. We're going to have to be able to get to a place where we understand the importance of education. I'm not talking about education in the system that's indoctrinating you. I'm talking about a complete holistic system that you understand what you're doing with what you got to work with. Again, there's a political system out there. There's an economic system out there that's running circles around you. There is a cultural system that we need that gives us boundaries, right, to tell us how to love each other, how to respect each other. And again, like the brother said, we don't have the same religious belief or the same faith, but we can have the same understanding. We can have the same agenda when it comes to culture, right? We might not have the same practices, but can we respect each other? And can we do the work of working on ourselves? I'm going back to 8128. I like this part right here. This for you, Brother George. 8128, what you got for me? Go.
Bring it up.
Bring it.
Hey.
What?
Come on. I'm going to 8128. 8128, what you got?
Yeah, my brother. I mean, I understand what the sister was saying on the last speaker. You know, it is a very difficult issue that we're facing because of all the ways we look at each other. The ways we look at each other, we have to remember, are based on someone else's viewpoint of us. We have to take down all of those beliefs about what we can and can't do and just come straight at the issue. We need
like
to come
that.
Together. That's the main issue, okay? We will do what's necessary if we can come together, if we can just get past all those roadblocks that's been set up. And they've been set up to do exactly what we're talking about. Keep us not indecisive, coming up with ways in which things can't happen because of what somebody else told us. Not what we know. We know that when we're together, we are strong. I mean, look at Tulsa. Look at all the Black Wall Streets we had. Look at all the thriving Black communities that we had before we allowed them to infiltrate and tear them down. I mean, literally tear them down and scatter us to the four winds, because they know when Black people are apart, they are less efficient. They are less of a threat or a force. We need to be together in order to be strong. Number one thing. We are strong as a people, not as separate individuals. That's how they do it. Think about it. Look around you. How much power do we have when we are in positions? Talk about Obama on down. What black politician, even around you, is talking about, I'm campaigning on uplifting the black community? How many of you think will get elected? But uplifting the black community, if you uplifting the black community, then you're uplifting every community.
Amen.
But you'll never
preach.
But you'll never hear them say that. You'll never hear them talk about, well, we think if we get the black community on track, then everything else will be okay. Hell no, they ain't going to say that to you. They're not going to even talk about black people being on the agenda. Unless it's about them doing something wrong.
Tell
about them being uplifted, about them being downtrodden or held down some more. We have to understand what our needs are and then promote them, come together and promote them. It is about us knowing us. It is about us defending and standing together as a one unit, not as a bunch of people who just need some help. Specific African-American people, people of African descent, okay? We need an Afro-centeredness
in order
for us to come together and understand how we really think, act, suppose, culture is, and the fact that we are so different from those other people, okay? That there is no comparison. Don't compare. Understand. Who you are. There's enough information out here. And if you need more, I'm sure Marvin will give it to you.
You got that right. You got that right, brother. I'm going to have to wrap it right there. I got one more I'm going to get to. But thank you so much. I appreciate you, brother. I'm going to 9266 real quick, and then we're going to wrap it up. Thank you, brother. I'm going to come back to you at the end. 9266.
Bring it. What?
Oh, tell you. Brother George, I see you. 9266. We got 3 minutes and 1 second.
Hey.
What you got?
Yeah, I'm not going to take long. And I like what Brother George just said, but one thing about that, we can't have leadership in that high position saying that we're going to empower black people. Or it's just like they can't have anybody in that position saying we're going to empower white people or we're going to empower Asian people, unfortunately. You know, it's just that once the person gets in there, they have to go on a platform of empowering everybody. And then once they get in there, you know, get in that position to help us. But what we could use are ground people, people on the ground like Stacey Abrams and stuff like that, who are the ones that are campaigning and fighting for black people. She didn't say she was fighting for black people, but you know that's what she's doing. And sometimes you don't have to say anything. Your actions speak louder than words. You know, I've seen some people that say, yeah, I'm out here doing it. They talking the talk, but they're not walking the walk. And I can't say one thing. She has walked the walk. You know, you never heard, you know, she's talked about how she's helping black and brown people. Yes, in this process, she said, but I'm helping everybody in this process because it's also hurting other people. So, unfortunately, you know, it's a daggone shame. And I'll give it the other word, but it is a daggone shame that we can't have advocates that speak loud for us. You know, but we have people out here that can show their actions, and that would be, that would be great. Starting with a holiday for Juneteenth is a start, you know, but it would be nice for us to, for our politicians to give us the same respect that they gave to Asians with the Asian, you know, hate crime bill. Why don't give it to the black people? The actions. That's what I'm talking about, the actions. Let's start seeing some actions. You don't have to say it. Just show us.
All right.
You know, so that's my 2 cents. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sister. I appreciate that. So think about it. We don't have to. I got about 60 seconds, so I'm just wrap it up. Thank you, brother. Thank you, sister. Thank you, everybody, for calling in. We don't need to ask anybody for anything anymore. All we got to do is say what we want and then go after it. Stacey Abrams is a good example. Let's follow her model. Let's follow the Obama model, but let's start liberating ourselves one person at a time through great leadership, integrity, responsibility, and accountability. But it begins with you. The work begins with you. And like the brother said, ask Marvin Rome. If you call every week, you're going to leave with something. But share this message with somebody else. Share this empowerment with somebody else that we can do the work of developing ourselves one person at a time. That's the work. And the work starts with you. So we'll continue to do the work. Come back next week and bring somebody with you. It's the Empowerment Hour, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. I'm Marvin Rome. I'll talk to you next week. Be there. Peace.
Scorned and covered with scars, still strong.